Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. I'm your host, Avery Carl, and we have one of my favorite guests here. But before I introduce him, I got to tell you a couple stuff. We are hiring agents in Orlando, Park City, Shenandoah, and the Outer Banks, also the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. Email careers at theshorttermshop.com if you think you might be the right person for the job. Now, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Yona Weiss. You may have run across him if you have been at any real estate investing conference in the last 5 or 6 years. He seems to be at all of them. But today we are going to talk about cost segregation studies, what that is, how they benefit you. Yona is the best in the business at those. He's the guy you want to call if you need to do one. So anyway, I'll let him introduce himself now. How's it going, Yona?
Thanks so much, Avery. Pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it. Great to be back. You know, I'm a big fan of the Short Term Show, the Short Term Shop in general. What you guys have been doing over the past, you know, 5, 6 years is also nothing short of amazing. So kudos to you. Congrats to the success. And yeah, excited to be here to talk about a subject that oftentimes is confusing, especially to newer investors who may have not even heard of anything called cost segregation. So excited here to break it down and simplify it.
Yes, I think we definitely need this. And on either side of this episode, so last week and next week, or one or the other, I'm not exactly sure how we're going to schedule it, but we are talking to an actual CPA. So they're going to be using words like cost seg and things like that. So we want our listeners to truly understand what that is when they're hearing it. So I've just decided it will be after your episode. So Yona, what is a cost segregation study? Let's just start at the very beginning. What is that?
Very simple. It is an advanced form of depreciation. Okay. And so we got to take a step back and understand what depreciation is. Anytime you buy a property besides for your primary residence, the government allows you to take an income tax deduction, an income tax write-off of the total value of that property. Okay, so that's called depreciation. Now, it doesn't actually mean that your property is going down in value. It's just a name. It's a borrowed term. It's the name of a deduction that allows you to write off the value over a long period of time as if the property were going down in value. So depreciation, generally speaking, is over a 27 and a half year schedule for long-term rentals or for multifamily. But for short-term rentals and other commercial properties, it's over a 39 year schedule, which means that you know, you buy a property and you're able to take like 2% basically of that property value as a deduction every single year. That's what's called depreciation. Cost seg or cost segregation, like I said, is an advanced form of that. It's breaking down the property into its components and showing how certain components of that property actually depreciate faster on a 5-year or 15-year schedule, which allows you to take bigger tax write-offs in the earlier years. So if you were to ask, right, what's a cost segregation study? Think of it like this. It's a cash flow mechanism. It allows you to take bigger tax deductions during the earlier years of ownership to reduce your tax liability, have more cash in your pocket. And, it's a complicated process and happy to kind of break it down today of what that entails. But that's, in a nutshell, what it's all about.
Yeah, let's break it down for the listeners who may not be as familiar with what this is. So who can do one of these? Can anybody do one?
Anyone can do a cost segregation study. However, there are certain limitations to how you can use the benefits of the cost segregation study and the depreciation deductions. And this is probably one of the most important things. And you may hear about this on the other episode where the CPA is probably going to be breaking down something called the material participation rules with short-term rentals. Simply, it breaks down like this. Depreciation is considered a passive deduction. Well, if you have a job, you're in, you have a W-2, 1099, whatever it is, you're making money, that's called active income. And you're only able to use depreciation to offset passive income. What's passive income? Passive income is your rental income, your real estate income. Okay, there are a couple exceptions to that rule. So again, doing a conservation study, anyone can do it, right? But who can benefit from it? That's going to be where the limitations come in. So if you are a full-time real estate professional, like Avery, like any of the brokers, right, in the short-term shop, you guys automatically get that status of a real estate professional because you're full-time in the business. You now have this golden ticket that says you can use depreciation, you can use cost seg to offset any source of income whatsoever. However, if you are not, then you have to use what's called the short-term rental quote unquote loophole. It's not really a loophole, but it says that if you work full-time, and obviously if you guys are a part of the short-term shop, you are going to be self-managing your properties, right? You're not handing it off to a third party. That's for sure, right? Because that's, I think Luke would, have a fit if you guys did that. But the point is, if you are self-managing, then you can show that you're materially participating in self-managing that. And now there are certain thresholds that either 100 hours or 500 hours, et cetera. I'll let the CPA episode go into more details on that. But essentially, what that allows you as a short-term rental owner to do is you can now use cost seg to offset your active or your W-2 income as well. So again, anyone can do a cost seg, but you may have limitations to be able to use the depreciation deductions against other sources of income besides your passive, your rental income.
Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday sessions, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus.
Guys, I'm going to dumb that down a little bit for people such as myself. Here's what this means. So if you're somebody who maybe you don't have to be a high income W-2 earner, but a lot of high income W-2 earners like doctors, attorneys, I don't know why I'm giving you examples. You guys know who makes a lot of money. Use this strategy a lot because essentially what the short-term rental tax loophole is, which is completely legal. Again, it's the way that the tax code is written. We're going to talk to Brandon Hall about that next week. Here's what it is. You can use the depreciation from that cost segregation analysis in order to pay less taxes on your W-2 income. So if you're somebody who has to pay a lot of taxes because you make a lot of money, you can buy a vacation rental, probably in a place that you really like to go with your family. You want to use some yourself, that's allowed with limitations. You can buy one of those and it will save you money on your taxes over here at your job, which is really, really cool. That's the only asset class where you can kind of cross that barrier of passive to active income with offsetting through depreciation.
Yeah, exactly. And it's huge. So I think I've had, hundreds of clients who are owning short-term rentals and using this strategy to reduce their tax liability, in many cases to zero. And in some cases, I've had people be able to retire from their full-time job, to be managing, or one spouse, one of a couple will self-manage the short-term rentals and be making more money after taxes because of the tax savings than they would had they been working full-time.
Yeah. So guys, something I want you to take away from this is that investing in real estate isn't necessarily only for making more money. It's about how to keep more of the money that you are making. And this is one of the best ways to do that. So, Yona, is there any particular type of property that is better or not better, worse for doing a cost segregation analysis?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly are. The reason why is because we have, like I said earlier, we're going to be breaking down the property into different components, and certain components of the property are going to be depreciating over a five-year period. And those are the things that are non-structural inside a property, which can include furniture, fixtures, appliances, even things that are, like the flooring, or if you take a cabin in the Smokies, right? Very classic. You have the wood paneling inside. All of that is considered five-year depreciation. You have things outside of the property that are going to be on a 15-year schedule, and that is what's called land improvements. And you may have a property that has a swimming pool. The concrete in that swimming pool is going to be, you know, depreciating over a 15-year schedule. And the reason why that's important is because you may have certain properties that are like a condo where you basically just own the walls in. And so you're going to have this structure, that's the 39-year property. And then the interior, which may be the, you know, furniture, appliances, et cetera, but you're missing out the land improvements, the things that may be outside that may have a higher depreciation threshold with that 15-year schedule. And so this is really important. So that's going to be, you know, which types of properties are going to have more or less. So on the high end of the spectrum, we'll break it down within the short-term rental kind of field, because I think that's obviously the majority of the people that are listening to this. But obviously, CostSeg is not limited to short-term rentals. It's for any type of property besides for your primary residence. So one thing on the very curious thing, just for, you know, anyone who's interested out there, a property that is on the highest end of the spectrum in terms of the benefit of the CostSeg is a RV park or a mobile home park, where you are essentially, there's nothing there except for the land improvements, okay? Which means there's going to be very little structure or infrastructure on the 27 or 39 year schedule. And what you're basically owning is the land improvements. Land itself does not depreciate. So we're always going to subtract a certain value for the land, but the land improvements, meaning the concrete, the pavement, you have concrete pads under each home, you have gravel, you have landscaping, fencing, signage, all that stuff outside. Mobile home parks, RV parks are on the highest end of the spectrum. But let's take a step back, bring us back to short-term rentals, because I think that's what most people here are. And I get this question all the time. If, you know, all things being equal, which property is going to be more beneficial from a CostSeg? I always say, you know, a property that has more land improvements, okay, like a bigger property with more, you may have a patio outside, you may have a swimming pool, you may have, you know, a lot of landscaping and pavement and things like that, a gazebo, all that kind of stuff adds up to that 15-year schedule. And that's going to, whenever you have more 15-year property, that's going to reduce the amount of the 39-year, the structural value in the property. And so that's where you're going to have more benefit on the CostSeg.
Oh, wow. So I wasn't aware of that. So more of the exterior, like improvements to the land than the actual structure of the property, that helps you save more on the tax benefit than if it was just the structure.
Exactly. As opposed to like a condo or a townhome or something where it's, you know, very little. You may have like a beachfront property, right? That has almost nothing, right? You got like a little tiny driveway or something like that, but not much else.
Okay. And I think that's really important to call out too, because I think a lot of people, when they think, okay, I'm going to buy something so that I can do a cost segregation analysis so that I can offset my taxes. And they hear, okay, we need lower land value, higher everything else value. Then they go, oh, cool. I'm going to go buy a condo because there is no land value, and think that they're going to get like 100% on that, but that's not necessarily correct.
Exactly. And it's really important. Like you said, you may hear this, right? CostSeg is going to be great. I'm going to be help reduce my tax liability, but not all properties are created equal. And so you may have one property that's going to get you, you know, 20% or 30% of the total value of the property is going to be in that faster depreciation, where you're going to be able to accelerate that depreciation. And then another property may be, you know, 15% or, you know, percent of that. And so again, it's really important to look at each property individually. And that's one of the reasons why we always like to run a free feasibility analysis, a free estimate upfront when you're looking at properties. And I have people reach out to me, they're looking at two different properties and they're like, which one is going to help save more taxes? We'll run the numbers and you can see ahead of time and kind of make that decision. But that being said, I will kind of make a caveat there. You should not be investing for the tax benefits alone. Obviously, the property has to make sense, the you know, the value, et cetera. The extra benefit that comes along with the CostSeg, with the depreciation, is, I like to think of it like the icing on the cake. It's certainly beneficial, but it shouldn't be necessarily your decision maker.
Totally agree with that, because you can only use this one time at the beginning, in the first year you buy it. So you don't want to buy something that doesn't make sense, it doesn't cash flow, just to get the tax benefits. And then after you use that year one, then you're stuck with a property that doesn't produce forever. Because when you sell the property, so let's say you buy $1 million property, you CostSeg it, you get, let's say we have 100% bonus depreciation, just to make these numbers easy to do, and you have like a $200,000 tax benefit. So you do that, And then you're like, okay, I'm not making the money I thought I was going to make, or short-term rentals aren't for me, or whatever. I'm going to sell this. You have to pay that $200,000 back to the IRS. So,
not exactly. So I want to correct you there, Avery, because it's a big misnomer. A lot of people think that's what recapture tax is all about. So you may have heard this thing, depreciation recapture, and it's real. Okay. But it does not mean that you're actually paying back that depreciation.
Oh, really?
Please
correct me here then.
Yeah, no, it's important. And a lot of people get this confused because that's what it sounds like. Recapture means I'm just like, you know, it's being recaptured. It's being paid back. But what depreciation recapture tax is a tax on the amount of depreciation taken. So it's very different from paying back that $200,000 versus being taxed on that $200,000.
All right. See, that's something I didn't even know. And I've been doing this a long time. So we all need Yona, guys. So let's talk about that. So let's say you did the $200,000. You're like, oh, crap. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to sell this. So what is the depreciation recapture tax?
It is essentially like a capital gain, right? Meaning everyone knows what a capital gain is, where if you made money on the sale, you're going to be taxed on the difference, the amount of money you made. So too, the depreciation recapture is you're going to be taxed on the amount of depreciation taken as an unrealized gain. However, there are a few really important things to remember about recapture tax. Number one, the tax rate that recapture tax is at is always going to be lower than your ordinary income tax rate had you not done the cost seg in the first place. So there's always going to be an arbitrage, a difference of you having those tax benefits earlier versus paying it later on. So that's the first thing to remember. The second thing is there are many strategies or techniques to be able to offset or reduce or defer that recapture tax as well, like a 1031 exchange, right? You can sell a property and exchange it for another, and then you defer that recapture tax as well as the capital gain tax. There are other ways to reduce that tax. But simply put, you are going to be taxed at it. It is important to remember that it's not just a free deduction. However, the time value of money, of using your own money to reinvest during those years or however amount period of time that you are going to be holding that property, is usually going to be much higher than the actual tax you'll pay at the end.
Are you a real estate agent that wants to work in a fun family environment? Then join us at the Short Term Shop. If you are interested in moving to the beach to sell houses, we can help. theshorttermshop.com/careers. We are hiring in the best vacation markets in America. If you are a rock star agent or want to become one, please contact us. theshorttermshop.com/careers. We have live one-on-one coaching sessions available with our wonderful top-notch coaches at Short Term Shop Plus, and we would love to help you in your vacation rental journey. The mission remains constant: to provide amazing homes so that our guests can create awesome memories with their families. If you need help to set up your systems and processes, how to communicate with guests, how to improve your systems, how to find and hire housekeepers, and all of the above you are looking for, Short Term Shop Plus. You can find us at stsplus.com. And the best part is, the price is right. Reasonably priced. And if you are a Short Term Shop client, please use the code CLIENT at checkout for an even better deal on stsplus.com.
Yeah, I see so many. Anytime I mention doing a cost seg or a 1031 exchange or any of these strategies that we use as real estate investors on TikTok specifically, I get somebody yelling at me that you have to pay it back eventually. It's not free. I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's more time with your money. Don't we all want that?
Exactly. And again, that's one of the things, you know, TikTok and BiggerPockets and all these places that I see this exact point, which is a misnomer. It's actually incorrect. You're not paying it back. And in fact, there are many, many ways where you can reduce it, defer it, or completely eliminate that recapture tax on the sale, as long as you're, you know, you're working with a good accountant who can help you with those strategies. So make sure to like listen to the next episode with Brandon Hall and find a great CPA who can help you navigate and strategize to make sure that you're maximizing your benefits.
See, guys, don't listen to people that yell at you on TikTok.
That's the lesson for sure.
We shouldn't be doing that anyway. Okay, so I have a question. Actually, Luke and I were talking about this yesterday. So let's say, and actually before I ask that question, just want to go back to make sure when you're buying something and you're thinking about using this tax strategy that the numbers work at the price and the interest rate you're able to get it, because you don't want to buy something and be stuck with a non-performing property. You want to make sure that you're buying good real estate, not just saying, oh, cool, let me save all my taxes and buying something that doesn't work. And then you're stuck. So moving on. Let's say, and hopefully I can, this is not a difficult question. I am going to have a difficult time articulating it in an intelligent way. So hang with me. Okay, so let's say you buy a property for $500,000. We do that cost seg. We have it for a few years or maybe a year, however long we have it, doesn't matter. And then we're like, you know what? I don't like this property. I don't like this. It's doing fine, but I don't like this market, or maybe I want to bring my money closer to home, whatever reason you have. So you're like, okay, I don't love this. Let's 1031 exchange it. Don't have a ton of equity yet. Not necessarily looking to, buy $1 million property, but let's say, I buy something for $501,000 because it has to be more expensive than the last one. Can I then cost seg the new property and get the full benefit of whatever it would have been for that new $500,000? So essentially, can I double dip having cost seg the first one, 1031 exchange, and then cost seg the second one and get the same benefit that I got on the first one?
So in your example where the cost is essentially the same, so you can't really cost seg it twice because your basis, when you do a 1031 exchange, your tax basis, the amount of depreciation you can take, actually carries over, meaning you don't get to reset your depreciation. However, just to kind of take a step back, when you buy a property free and clear, or you buy a property without a 1031 exchange, the depreciation is completely subjective to you as the owner, which means if you buy a property for $500,000, your now starting point of depreciation is $500,000. If you buy a property, the same property gets sold the next year to a different person for $1 million, they get to start depreciating it based on $1 million. So the property is always going to be subjective to you. However, when you're doing a 1031 exchange, the depreciation carries over, which means you don't get to reset that basis, the amount you can depreciate, which means if you already took a large portion of depreciation, that's going to reduce your basis. That means that's going to be now your starting point. So in your case, $500,000 property, and you did $100,000 of depreciation, your new starting point of in the new property is only going to be $400,000 because you've already taken $100,000 of depreciation. However, if you did a 1031 and you decided to add more equity into that, even if it's finance, which is the amazing thing, even if a bank gives you a loan for $500,000 and you buy $1 million property, so now the new money that's in the property, again, even if it's finance, even if it's not coming from your pocket, that new money can be depreciated from new, which means your basis is now going to be, that $1 million property is now going to be at $900,000 because remember the first property was $500,000, you took $100,000 depreciation, left with $400,000. Now the new property you buy for $1 million, you exchange into it, add $500,000 of equity. Now your new basis, instead of the $1 million purchase price, is going to be $900,000. So you can do a cost seg on that new property and you're going to have a much higher basis at that point.
Okay. So instead of being able to cost seg on the full million, you just subtract the $100,000 benefit that you already had and you can cost seg the rest of it, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That gets very confusing.
It does. And again, this is really goes back to the same point. We're going to, beat that dead horse. Make sure to have a CPA or a tax advisor who is helping you navigate these things because it can get very confusing. And, whenever you're dealing with anything with taxes, you want to make sure that you are 100% compliant because, God forbid, if you're ever audited and things are not 100% compliant, then you can get into trouble.
Yes. And I'll go ahead, since we mentioned it several times, and give you guys a few great suggestions. I do not do affiliate fees or anything like that. This is just people that either I use or my clients have used and had great success and love them. Amanda Hahn, Brandon Hall, Carlton Dennis, and Ryan Bakey. There's four really great options for you. So go find them on social media, follow them, check them out, because those are all really good ones. And your CPA does not have to be local to you. They can be wherever. So you can go hire any of these guys or gals and use them for tax strategy. So highly, highly recommend hiring a tax strategist, not just using, you know, your brother-in-law that's a CPA if you're investing in real estate, because there are some really specific things. It's just kind of like doctors, you know, you're not going to go see a radiologist if you think you have cancer. So you're going to go see an oncologist because they specialize. Same thing with CPAs. There are CPAs who specialize in real estate. Just gave you four great names. So check them out.
Awesome. Absolutely. No, I agree with that.
All right. So is there any scenario in which you might be buying a short-term rental in which you should not do a cost segregation?
There are a few scenarios. And the first one we kind of mentioned, we touched on at the beginning, which is, can you benefit from it, right? That's always going to be the number one rule, is that number, are you actually going to have a tax liability? Number one, meaning if the property's not making any money and you can't use those deductions, then it makes no sense. But also, can you benefit? Meaning, are you making sure to either be that real estate professional or hit the material participation requirements that come along with short-term rentals to be able to now use those deductions against your active income as well? Those are going to be the first two things that are more about you than the property itself. The things that have to do with the property is, we mentioned also about the recapture tax and that coming at the sale. If you're planning on holding a property for a very short period of time, I'd say, well, you know, obviously less than a year, but even less than 2 years, it may not be a good idea to do the cost seg, because yes, you will have some time value of money, but that recapture tax will come much quicker and you'll have much less benefit in there. The most important factor though, however, is the actual cost of the property. If it's under, usually I say about $200,000 purchase price, then there's going to be very little benefit there in terms of how much you can save on your taxes, because there is a cost, there's a fee of get, you know, to do the cost segregation, and the after-tax benefits, once you, you know, take all the deductions, under $200,000, there's still going to be benefit there, but it's not going to be significant enough, in my opinion, to get it done. But anything above that, it's certainly worthwhile to look into.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And guys, don't forget, if you choose not to do this, you're still able to take the depreciation just in smaller increments annually than bumping it all up to the beginning.
Exactly. And it's, like I said, it is a tax strategy. It's not going to be for everyone in every occasion, but it's certainly worthwhile to look into for sure.
Yeah. And at the time we're recording this, we are still at 40% bonus depreciation. This is, what month is it? May of 2025. And as of right now, over the weekend, the bill where this is written in that it may be coming back to 100% bonus depreciation is looking like it's going to go through. It's the end stages of the House, and then we'll have the Senate. So hopefully it will go back to 100%. But right now we're at 40, just to clarify. So I don't get, again, yelled at on YouTube, but the other favorite place of people to yell at me for not mentioning that. So now it's been mentioned.
Yeah. And just to kind of give a little context for our listeners who may not be familiar with what that bonus depreciation is about and how, what it means that it's coming back to 100% bonus. Essentially, when we do a cost segregation study, remember, we're going to be breaking down certain components of that property into a 5-year or 15-year schedule. Oftentimes, it can be up to 20 or 30% of the value of the property that's going to be in those faster accelerated depreciation schedules of 5 or 15 years. What happened was about in 2017, there was this huge tax reform called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, called Trump's, you know, tax reform. And it introduced a new rule called 100% bonus depreciation, which said, once you've done a cost segregation study and have allocated those, you know, certain components, those faster lives, those faster depreciation, 100% of those deductions can be taken upfront in the first year, which means you don't have to spread them out over that 5 and 15 year period, which in of itself is great, but you can now take this lump sum in the first year. So illustration purposes, bought a $1 million property, subtract a little bit for land, let's say you take 20% and you're left with, you know, $200,000 just to keep round numbers, that $200,000 of depreciation can now be taken in the first year instead of spread out over a five-year period. That's what bonus depreciation 100%. In that tax rule, that tax reform, the bonus depreciation was phased out, which means in 2023, you know, between 2017 and 2022, it was 100%. In 2023, it went down to 80% bonus. 24 went down to 60%. And this year in 2025, it's down to 40% bonus, which means you can take 40% of those accelerated deductions as a lump sum in the first year. The remaining 60% of that will still be spread over those faster 5 and 15 year periods. Now, the 100% bonus is huge and probably the biggest benefit that, you know, was in the short-term rental space and in many real estate spaces for a long time. And so we're very much looking forward to this coming back. And as Avery mentioned, it was introduced in a draft of the big, beautiful tax bill that's coming out shortly. And it's very likely that the 100% bonus depreciation is going to be coming back specifically for the 2025 tax year and for the next 5 years. It will be 100%, which means it's going to be a bright future. However, 2024, 23, et cetera, are still going to be you know, the 60 or 80% respectively that it was. And it's really important to remember that the cost seg or the bonus depreciation amount, the percentage, is always going to go after when the property was placed in service. So if you bought a property back in 2018 and never did a cost seg on it, or in 2020, you can still do a cost seg today. You don't have to do it in the first year. And you can still get the 100% bonus depreciation because, again, it goes on based on when the property was placed in service. And since those were years where there was 100% bonus, you can still get the 100% bonus depreciation.
Oh, okay. Love that. Love that. So you don't have to do it the first year.
You do not. No, it's always good to kind of get things set up in, you know, the right way from the beginning, but you do not. And if you decide to do a cost seg in a subsequent year, you don't need to amend your tax returns in order to do so. So that's another great thing.
Awesome. So something that I thought about while you were talking, is there a difference between bonus depreciation and accelerated depreciation? Because I hear both of those terms and other people probably do too. And what is the difference if so?
Yeah, accelerated depreciation just means that, you know, things are on a faster schedule. So in, you know, technically speaking, bonus depreciation is a form of accelerated depreciation because it is putting the depreciation on a faster schedule, right? The straight line depreciation would be on that 39-year schedule. So anything on a faster, the 5-year or 15-year, or the bonus depreciation would takes it in, you know, in 1 year, all of those would be considered accelerated depreciation. So accelerated depreciation is kind of more like a general category, which includes a lot of things. And if you really, really, really want to get technical, if there are some CPAs that are listening to this and like, hey, that's not what accelerated depreciation really means, right? There's it actually technically is not any of that, right? It's just what we use in the industry to call it accelerated, you know, cost seg depreciation. But technically speaking, it has to do with what's called a double declining balance or 150 declining balance, and et cetera. Essentially a way to accelerate the depreciation. Even within that 39-year schedule, there's a method to kind of slightly accelerate deductions to the earlier years. But no one really talks about that, and so it's kind of irrelevant. But in case there are some CPAs listening and like, hey, why don't you talk about double declining balance? Well, there you have it.
Yeah, super dorky. We're not getting that dorky on this. Okay. Yona, we're coming to the end of our time together. Is there anything that we haven't talked about in terms of cost segregation analysis that our listeners need to hear?
There are a lot of things I would say, but you know, with the time frame that we have, I think we covered quite a bit and the majority of things. I will reiterate that it's always a good idea to reach out to someone like myself and get a free estimate to find out just if it's even worthwhile, right? Because you never know, but also reiterate the fact that you do need a CPA who understands this as well, because getting the cost seg done and then bringing it to your CPA who tells you you can't do this for whatever reason they decide, that's not going to work for you either. So make sure that all of this is done in tandem and you know, keep educating yourself, keep learning.
Absolutely. And if our listeners want to follow you on social media, how can they do that?
I'm very active on most of the platforms, not TikTok, but I'm very active on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, X, all those places. Do me a favor, though. Don't just hit that follow button. Take 10 seconds and write a little note and let me know that you listen to the Short Term Show. I'll be grateful to start the conversation and happy to help in any way.
All right. So there you have it. I am at The Avery Carl and The Short Term Shop is at The Short Term Shop. Yona, thank you so much for coming on. I always learn something. So thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.